take us back, and we'll break to the news, obviously, but take us back to you were here, radio person in the state, for years and years.
Yes.
What were the first symptoms when you kind of knew something was amiss?
I had a heart attack.
Yeah.
At 48.
Oh, wow.
And
no symptoms before that?
No.
Really?
Really no symptoms. And
they say in women is more like a men will usually have some more symptoms.
Right.
And women, it just comes on, boom. What was that moment like?
Chest pain. And it was so bad that I went to a walk-in clinic and said to the nurse, I'm having terrible pains. And she said, you must be nervous. Go take an aspirin and lay down. Meanwhile, I felt like my chest was going to explode.
Really?
Wow.
So I went to a hospital, and they admitted me.
Right there.
And they did an EKG, and they said, we think there's blockage. We're going to do an angiogram on you the next day, which was a Sunday.
Yeah.
And the angiogram went wrong, horribly wrong.
Oh.
The main cardiac.
I remember that.
Remember that, Brad?
Oh, I remember like it was yesterday.
The main cardiac artery blew in half. And you cannot fix that.
Oh,
the
no.
heart was ruined at that point. And he had to go get help. And when the help arrived, they said, this lady's going to die. If you're religious, get your priest because she's going.
You heard that?
They put me in a coma. They put me in a coma, but they went out and told my family.
Get whoever you're...
My 17-year-old daughter and my 22-year-old son and my husband that I wasn't going to survive. And they gave me my last rites. Everybody came to say goodbye to me.
Wow.
But I didn't die.
Well, no,
Here I am. You couldn't get me off that way.
No, you didn't. Wow.
Yeah.
But again, you had
So what are some of the things that we should know, though?
Well, here are some of the facts about organ donation that people don't understand. You can be an organ donor well into your 80s.
See, I didn't know that.
There is no limit on the age that you can be an organ donor. Mm-hmm. You could give a liver, your skin, your bone, your corneas. There are many parts of you that you can donate after you die. And also, people think that their religion doesn't support it. The Pope has said yes. The Jewish religion has said yes.
He made a speech.
He did.
He made a speech.
Yes.
Where he said yes, absolutely.
That it was a gift worth giving.
That's right.
So people who say it's religious are generally not educated enough to know that most religions support this as a beautiful gift. And also, people think if they're an organ donor, doctors aren't going to treat them right, and that is not true.
No.
Doctors always want to save your life.
It's the exact opposite.
Right.
I mean, they see it as a life-saving, and they really want to do it,
Yes.
Unreal.
So how, and I never forget when it hit you. Always remember. But you went right into, you wanted to get right into this. And has this satisfied you?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. This has given my life so much meaning, Brad. I am so grateful for this opportunity. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Coming up to news time here, Beth Bradley is the guest. You may remember her here at the stations in Hartford, years news anchor. We're talking about, though, organ donation, something dear and near to her heart. And Beth will be with us after the news.
You know, I was just looking at a picture of your... Of your son.
Yes, my son Richard.
Your son Richard. And what he did. How did this happen?
My nephew, Daniel, developed a very serious liver disease. He was not a drinker. It was just something that happened to him. And he was dying. He was getting jaundiced and very thin. And he and my son are best friends along with being cousins. And my son said, "You're not gonna die, Daniel, because I'm going to give you half of my liver."
Wow.
Can you imagine?
When they checked my son out, he was the
perfect
match.
There you go.
So he did. He gave half of his liver to his cousin, and they're both perfectly
fine.
And
the human liver is one of the most transplantable organs out there because it does regenerate itself to a certain point. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he saved his cousin's life.
Isn't that amazing?
It was amazing that it happened to my family again.
Yeah.
But my son was happy to do it.
Well, you know, when you think back, how all of this came about, and here you are today, but you have been helping so many other people, and it's like it was planned that way. You know, when you stop to think,
synchronicity of life. There it is.
Unreal what you've done.
It's
unreal.
It's very strange, but you know, it gives my life meaning to do this. I love, like yesterday, I spoke at the Women's Club at the LP Center in Windsor, and that was excellent to get a chance to speak to older ladies about organ donation. And then I go into the driving schools and I talk to the 16-year-old kids.
And what's that like?
It's interesting because they're like, you have a man's heart.
Well, I was going to say, right, because, you know, Beth, if they don't read it on their phone, right, it doesn't exist.
You know, they say, is your life any different now? And I say, no, I still sit when I pee. That has not changed.
But, you know, you always, and you alluded to this a little before the news with some religious misgivings people had. There's still, I'm sure you run into people who are like a little like, my God, you have somebody else's organ. I mean, there's still, it's less than it always was, Beth, but I
maybe
mean.
Maybe your soul isn't
as
good.
Yeah, I mean, they get into the spirit. And the, oh, you know, whatever that guy did, his DNA is in you. You run into that, don't
I do,
you?
But I always tell them, I'm stronger because of what this man gave me.
Yeah.
And I feel that I can do more good. I don't feel that there's anything negative about this. I feel so lucky to have his heart in my chest.
What's your regimen like as far, if you don't mind me asking about medications and things? Because, you know, there's always people read about, oh, rejection and a ton of meds for your rest of your life. How do you do that?
Yeah, I take about 12 pills in the morning and about 7 at night.
Wow.
And that's for the rest of my life. You know, my body knows this is not my heart, and it would reject it. So I take these pills, and that makes it okay.
You know, when you stop to think of all these things that doctors can do and that you can do, that patients can do, it's a miracle.
It is.
It's a true miracle.
Yeah, and I feel that every day.
I'm sure you do.
Every day I wake up, and I cannot believe I have another chance. It's so amazing.
Beth, what is the protocol here for somebody who wants to make sure that they are an organ donor? Does it have something to do with your driver's license?
Oh, yes.
The way you use it? Explain that, if you will.
When you get your license, they give you an opportunity to become an organ donor. If you say yes, you will be registered as an organ donor, and a little heart will appear on your license. And that's how you know you're an organ donor.
Okay, so at a
so know, anybody would know.
Yes.
So a first responder or anybody that they would get if they
if
there's
they
any
saw
ID,
your license.
Yeah, if they saw your license, they check for ID and say, "Hey, there's a heart on here," and if that person expires, then the people know at the medical center.
Right.
And how often too do you get out in the field?
I do it about once or twice a week.
That often?
Yes. I just feel it's so important that people understand what organ donation is. When kids are 16 years old, they're going to live forever.
Forever.
Nothing's going
right?
to happen to them.
Nothing's going to happen to us, no.
And then you tell them, look around. Do you know anyone who died in a car accident? It could be you. Texting on that phone, they don't understand how dangerous that is.
Yeah.
So, but I just feel it's important to get the word out, Brad.
And again, they should... It's important that younger folks, even in their teens, you know, when they get their license, because you could have a young person, somebody in late teens, early 20s, who needs a heart or an organ, but might be better suited to one coming from somebody about their age or maybe even a little younger.
Yeah, that's important. A lot of things are important when you're waiting for an organ.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is your blood type.
Yeah, sure.
Antibody count.
And that has to be the same, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And also the weight of the height of the person.
Well, for pumping capacity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I'm 5'1". They had to find a small heart for me. But my donor was only 5'4".
Okay.
So he was the perfect match for me.
So that worked. That worked. Now, what are the, and I don't know whether you touch on this at all, Beth, what's the weight like? As far as waiting
time? Awful. I had to wait 22 months to get this heart,
which
meant I had to live on these horrible machines, VADs, ventricular assist devices. And this VAD that I was first put on before I got the heart, I had to plug it into the wall. I couldn't go outside. I couldn't be in a car. You know, there were all kinds of restrictions on this. And then after a while, it stopped working, and they had to open me up and put me on a second machine.
Can you imagine?
The second machine was called, this is the second machine.
A portable one, yeah.
Portable VAD, yeah.
Wow.
But when you look at this picture, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I was so close to death at that point, Brad. Yeah. That machine was actually in my heart, pumping the blood for me. I had no heartbeat for 22 months. And I had to tell the Canton police and all of the medical workers that I was alive. I didn't have a heartbeat, but I'm alive.
Oh, so if something happened and then not to declare you clinically dead. Oh, my God.
Yeah. There were a lot of things to worry. We were worried about the power going out.
Oh, that's right, in your home?
Yeah, then I wouldn't have a, you know, I wouldn't be put into this machine any longer without power.
Boy, I tell you, you said things like driving a car and going out. This really does, and some of the minor medical things I've had. You know, when you're in a hospital bed, suddenly all the mundane things of life become really special,
right?
Being able to get, will I be able to drive again? I want to go out for a steak dinner. All these things that we just flip off that, oh, it's no big deal. They suddenly become a big deal, don't they?
I remember being in the hospital. I was at Mass General for many months.
Yeah.
All I wanted was a pair of shoes and to be able to walk. That's all I wanted.
Really?
When the nurses would come in and they were dressed up and they had on nice high heels or whatever, I would think, I just want to be that person. I don't want to be in this bed any longer.
Right.
You know?
What was it like the first time you got in a car and drove again?
It was wonderful. Oh, my gosh. And you were
you
so careful.
You turn the key and you're like, I'm driving.
Freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom.
You're right. How great is that?
Yeah.
And you were able to go out to dinner again and go to a movie. Right?
Yeah.
Right? That's great.
But you have really become so active. I mean, now, it could have been that this all was taking place. You were fine. And your life just went on. But you wanted to get into this yourself. And that's what I think is a huge thing.
I almost felt like I had a calling to do it.
Well, there you go.
You know, I
and
really,
you did have one.
I did.
You did have one.
And I felt that it was my job as a person who had been on the radio to get out and talk to people about the importance of being an organ donor. I'm only alive because this man said yes. If he hadn't said yes, I don't know how much longer I would have lived. Things were failing. I had a series of strokes. All kinds of things happened to me while I waited for this heart. And when it finally came, it was such a gift. And I remember thanking the mom and her saying, can I please hear my son's heart?
Oh.
And I said, of course you can. She put her head on my chest and she wept and wept.
Oh my God.
And she started saying, I miss you. I love you. And I knew she was talking to her son. Yeah. What do you say? I didn't even know this woman. But I said, I love you too, and I love you for making this decision. Because I think it was a hard decision for her to make, to donate her son's organs. They were out at a hospital in Maine. He had just had this horrible motocross accident, and he was on life support, and she had to say, do it.
Oh, so he was not killed at the scene?
No.
Oh, wow.
He was on life support.
And again, when someone is hit, like you were and these other folks, you just wonder. You just say, my God, will I be back?
Yes.
And then when you are, then you want to get into it and you want to help. It's a beautiful thing what you did.
Thanks, Brad.
Really.
What was it like waking up after the transplant? Listen, I'm sure they told you beforehand, you know, this is a complicated procedure, and they must have told you there's a chance, right? Did they tell you?
Of course.
There's a chance you're not going to wake up.
Yeah.
You woke up, and you said to yourself,
I felt the heartbeat. That was the first thing. I did not have a heartbeat for 22 months.
It's true.
And all of a sudden, I felt it pumping
in my
chest. It
was like just a cannon in your chest.
You felt it right away.
I felt it right away, and my feet had been so cold for so long, and I felt the heat in my body from the heartbeat. And then I had a very strange experience where I felt the donor with me. The doctors say it was the morphine.
Oh, hey,
I don't know.
It could be. I was on morphine. It's good stuff, isn't
it? It's good
stuff. It's really
good stuff. I don't
know if it
was the morphine, but that donor was with me.
Yeah.
And it was a man. And I knew that. And I knew he died doing something he liked. And I knew this was okay.
Come on. And this was never explained to you beforehand.
No. And when I woke up, I asked the doctors. I said, I just had an experience that my donor was with me. Was it a man? And they said, we cannot answer that. We respect our donor's privacy, and we will never tell you
who your donor was. So it's up to the family.
Right. They said, in a year, you can contact the donor's family, and if they decide to write to you, you'll find out who he was. Otherwise, you'll never know. And I'll tell you, it's very hard to wake up in the morning and not know whose heart is in your chest.
It's basic human curiosity.
Think about it constantly. Was he a good person? How did he die?
Yeah.
Did he do anything horrible? You know, you think about this.
Oh, sure,
stuff.
All the karma stuff.
Yeah.
But that's wild.
Do they ever say the reason that they don't tell you?
Was to protect his privacy.
I see.
As a donor, no one will know who you are.
Even in death, you have HIPAA regulations.
Yes.
Yes, there's federal, to protect you even in death. Wow.
I heard from a person who contacted their donor's family, and that family never stopped bothering him. Did you take your pills? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? So he wished that they hadn't told who he was. So it's nice to have the
privacy. It's a double-edged sword.
Yes,
you,
it is.
You don't know.
It is.
You don't know. Wow.
But
wow, but that's just wild that you knew it was a, you knew it was a guy. You felt that. You see, that's the kind of thing where, and you're a journalist, right? You said this is legit. They didn't tell me any of this. Yet you knew it. See, that's the kind of thing where you say to yourself, okay, maybe there is something to this whole other world life force thing out there.
And the first thing they asked me was, "Are you Catholic?" And I said, yes, I was raised Catholic. And they said, you just need more medication. They did not want to discuss the fact that I had felt like I had seen my donor. They didn't want to talk about that.
Wait a minute.
It was not medical.
So back up here. You told them details about the donor that you shouldn't have known. They freaked out and said, you need more meds.
Yes.
Wow.
They didn't want to discuss that. That was not to be discussed.
Not to be discussed.
Right.
Wow.
But in my head, I knew. And when I received the picture 7 years later,
you go, bingo, there it is.
There was his face. I said, that's the guy.
Wow.
And I knew he died happy. I knew it was okay.
Wow.
So I didn't have that guilt with me, because there's guilt that comes with getting someone's organ.
Oh, I would imagine.
Someone dies.
Yeah.
Now, how many times a week did you say that you're out there? But, I mean, you really have.
2 to 3 times.
Huh?
2 to 3 times a week.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What are the ages of the groups that you have been
mostly
with?
It's teenagers. I go to the driving
schools.
So it's 16
and 17.
Oh,
you're a driving school person.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. When they talk about organ donation, I show up and I say, hey, it's me and I'm alive. You know, the kids can't believe it.
Boy, that's a cold bucket of water to their world where everything's great.
Yes.
As long as they have their phones, everything's great in their headphones. But, yeah, then you tell them. They must be, Beth, some of these kids must be slack-jawed when you tell them.
Oh, yeah. They can't believe it.
They don't understand modern surgery either. Like, how can that work?
And I tell them, go online, look up heart transplant, and you will see what they did to me. And some of them get very nervous about it. You know, they ask
imagine.
A lot of questions.
Do any of them have
that's the way it affects a person.
Sure.
Yes.
Do any of them have transplant people in their families?
Some of them will have a kidney transplant person.
Really?
Or someone who has diabetes.
Like my son's stepdad has had a lung transplant. And he's doing great and doesn't need his oxygen anymore and got rid of that 8 or 9 years ago. So he's doing great. Yeah. 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 But, man, what a shock to the system. It must be to some gum-snapping 17-year-old. Like, oh, my God, you have a heart in you from somebody else.
Yeah, they'll say, wow, so you were without a heart for a minute.
Yeah,
you were heartless.
A minute.
Yeah.
For a minute.
Oh, you know, they ask.
Minute, 22 months, whatever.
And they all want to know what happened to the doctor with the initial mistake.
Really?
Yeah. And I tell him he's practicing medicine.
Because it's not it's not perfection. Yeah.
It happens.
Oh. That's why doctors are my fan.
I remember when that. All happened.
That's why doctors in my
flashes back. It's unbelievable.
In my family have always said that's why they call medicine a practice, unfortunately. It ain't perfect. Right. Coming up to 10 before the top of the hour, we'll finish up with Beth Bradley, and she will talk more about organ donation and a lot more after that. Beth, former news anchor here. Her passion now, telling folks about organ donation. It's 10 before the top of the hour here at the Talk of Connecticut.
My friends, I've got something here that's quite interesting. Approximately 117,000 men, women, and children are waiting for a life-saving organ transplant. Thousands more are in need of tissue or cornea transplants to restore their mobility and their sight. Anyone can be a potential donor regardless of age or medical history. On average, 22 people a day do not survive because an organ transplant did not become available in time. One donor has the potential to help over 75 5 people. In 2016, 33,600 transplants brought new life to patients and their families. Register. Register to be an organ and tissue honor today, a donor today, and provide hope to those who wait to visit. That's quite a message.
It is. And you can do it. Just go to www.registerme.org, or when you get your license, say yes.
Yeah.
Just say yes.
Yeah. Tell your kids about it when they're 16 or 17. You know, kids are getting their licenses a little older than they are. Not like when you and I were running around at 16 in one day,
right,
driving like crazy. But now it's generally 17, maybe even 18, some spots. So, yeah, just tell them.
That's a very important message.
Yeah.
Tell your family.
Yes.
Very, very
that you're an organ
important.
Donor. Yes.
Even if you're 17, you're not old enough to do this by
mm-hmm.
yourself. But tell your family.
Yeah.
Because if something happens to you, they'll be beside themselves.
Yeah.
They won't know what to do. But if you say, I want to be an organ donor,
mm-hmm.
that is a job for them to do.
Because, Beth, I would when somebody is on life support, you obviously can answer this, and there's no indication that they're an organ donor, do doctors and social workers, do they come to the family
yes.
and tell them, listen, there's no indication, but let me present something to you. Do
yes.
they ask the family?
They do. I worked with a woman whose son died of a brain aneurysm at work.
Okay.
He was 33 years
unsuspected,
old.
Came right on.
Unsuspected, yeah. And they started CPR on him immediately, and he was brought to a hospital. But he was already dead,
yeah.
but he was on life support.
Yeah.
They came up to her, and they said, your son is perfectly healthy, but he's gone. Do you want to be an organ donor?
Really?
And she said, yes. He
wow.
saved so many people.
Can imagine. Yeah.
He gave his heart to a man who had the same birthday as him.
Oh, really?
Isn't
How do you
strange?
Do that? How do you figure that, right?
And this man is alive and well,
yeah.
and I speak with this woman, and it breaks her heart that her son died.
Yeah.
But he did something wonderful with
yeah.
his life.
Yeah. And it's, you know, Beth, I mean, we go back, and God, how many of us have done blood drives? You know, not just body, not just organs, but blood donation, stem cell donation.
Yes.
There was that story the other day. I don't know whether you folks saw it. This one guy, did you see this, Beth, who's got this weird genetic abnormality in his blood that he's been able to save how many thousands of people who have the same genetic abnormality in his blood, but he's like a lot, like he gives as much blood as he can.
Isn't that amazing?
Did you see that story?
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
This guy, Brad, it's weird. Like they literally take as much blood from him as they can because he's got this strange genetic hiccup in his blood makeup, and he has saved, they said, hundreds, thousands of people across the world.
Isn't that amazing?
And he's this everyday Joe. Yeah, go ahead.
And you know, more and more people. I met three people recently who gave blood,
mm-hmm.
and one was saved because of mm-hmm. the blood that was given.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
I received so much
blood. Oh, my.
Blood.
How much blood? It must be gallons.
Gallons, yes. I am so grateful to everybody who gave. And my kids did, too.
Yeah.
My children were wonderful during this ordeal.
Yeah.
My daughter had been accepted to Syracuse University
yeah.
and said, nope, I'm gonna help Mom. So she stayed home a year and helped me.
And then she hit you with the tuition bills.
Oh, yeah. Later. She went to Mount Holyoke. She upped it a notch.
Oh, they're that much, huh?
Oh, yeah. And she got married last September.
Oh, good.
Really?
My daughter got married.
Any grandkids yet?
No, it's too early.
Look
but,
at you.
But my fingers are crossed.
Whoa.
That's my next hurdle.
Grandma.
I'm just.
That's great.
I was so grateful to be able to walk her down the aisle with my husband.
Excellent.
You know, as I'm doing that, I'm looking up at the sky saying, thank you, Daniel Arnold.
Yeah.
Thank you for this opportunity to be alive to walk my daughter down the aisle. It was amazing.
Well, you look great.
Thank you.
And people should
you
never.
Look just the same.
Ah, oh, Brad, he's the best. He is the best.
Never, never take for granted that heartbeat that you feel in your chest.
Yeah.
Not you, but I'm talking about everybody when we wake up
Wait,
in the morning.
Feel it and be grateful.
Yeah,
that you
or
have
if
it.
You take that brisk walk and you feel your heart pumping, be thankful for it.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unreal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What a way to end the program.
Yeah.